Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Aloha, everybody. Everybody, I mean that from the heart. And what a great show we have tonight. I have one of my all-time mentors and favorite people. I'll introduce him here in a few minutes, but before we start the show, I always start the show with a big bang. And I bring on my producer for the past 6 years, and he's such a great guy. If you haven't met him yet, you're going to July the 10th and 11th when we do it. Well, I'll let him explain it. Let me bring on Mr. Hanti Jesse Bowen. Hanti Bowen?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I was trying to brag about you a little bit, but I just want you, you know, because you're one of the most humblest guys I know. I want you to do me a favor. Talk about what you got going on and just share with us a little bit because you're such a motivating person. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir. Well, everyone, we have a phenomenal event coming up, and we're really super excited. It's the first time that an event has been put on a virtual event that's going to be better than the live event. And that's how we're going to build this, to build that expectation. It's going to be phenomenal. We're going to have training seminars. We're going to have business seminars. We're going to have a lot of guests on, you know, honoring Grandmaster Norris and talking about the past. And Aaron Norris is going to be on, his brother. We have Bill Wallace doing seminars. We have Dana Abbott doing seminars. Mark Shuey doing seminars. That we got a whole list of people. We're going to have national competitors doing demonstrations honoring Grandmaster Norris. We're hoping to have even the UFAF schools actually doing demonstrations. All of this is going to be online. You know, we are not just celebrating the U.S., but our friends in Brazil and all around the world are going to be participating. We're going to have gatherings online. You know, we have a special event area set up just for the Sport Karate Museum. So Professor Gary Lee can be bringing on people all day long, talking about, you know, the history of the martial arts. Everybody's going to be able to interact. They can go to various seminars that will be going on simultaneously, just like you would be at any.
Hanti Bowen, I want to interrupt
sure.
you a minute. I got a little bone to pick with you. And it's really a good
go
one, too.
You.
Okay? a couple of my black belts called me this afternoon. And they said, look at the Facebook page. And you'll see a poster.
And thank you.
It's a good likeness, and I appreciate your what you did for me and what you're doing for me for the past 6 years within the Sport Karate Museum. And I apologize for that little technical difficulty I just had, but you know, you're a good guy, Hanti Bowen. Thank you so much for doing that for the museum. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, sir. You know, in this time and era, you know, my whole thing is to, I woke up, I guess, on Sunday morning, and I said, fight back. Fight back, because all the negative things that we have going on in the world, all the craziness, all the injustice, all the political, then we have to become a part of the solution. And this is what martial arts is about. And I've said it in an interview last week. If we have martial artists that have hatred in their heart, they have dislikes in their hearts, then you take off the belt. You know, you just shouldn't be a martial artist because you really don't understand the essence. If fighting is the only attribute that you have in the martial arts, you actually have nothing. You know, what we need in the martial arts today is leaders. And this is what we're trying to bring together, people that have stories of how the martial arts has improved their life. You know, if the martial arts has been a cornerstone in your life, then this program is for you. If it's not, then this program is not for you. And this is what we really have to do. You know, the Sport Karate Museum is about preserving the history. You know, it's really about preserving those things that we want to carry on to the future. I have unfriended people this week. I have stopped following people. And I'm just so disappointed in so many martial artists that, as I said before, many of them should never teach again, in my opinion. And so we want to bring forth something positive, honoring Grandmaster Norris and Denny for their years of contribution and the other martial artists that are in the book and not in the book. You know, we have some great martial artists that are doing some very great things. So, you know, I thank you, sir. As I said before, when we started on this journey, your call was one of the first calls that came to us, and out of that, and I do believe that everything is for a purpose, and you know, we're just trying to live in that purpose and to make the world and the martial arts a better place. Back to you, sir.
Well, you know, I want to say this because we've built up, you know, thousands of followers in 6 years, and it's not because we're lucky, because we're very predetermined on honoring the history one warrior at a time. And the one thing I do believe in you, Uncle Jesse Bowen, is that you're loyal and you're true to your word, what you said you're going to do. We've built this book into something that people are excited about. And now we have our number one hero, Mr. Carlos Norris, Chuck Norris. And golly bum, Aaron's going to be there too. Aaron Norris, that's cool. And, you know, what's really cool is that we're honoring our heroes. I don't know, I'm getting this background somewhere. But thank you, Auntie Bowen. You've done a great job. Thank you so much for what you do. I really do appreciate it. And the museum and all the history generals do it too. Thank you, sir, for your insight. And thank you for producing this show for the past 6 years. Okay? And make sure you tell Gwen.
You're welcome, sir. It's my honor.
Yes. Okay. Well, listen, I've got a very special co-host that, if you don't know him already, I've been trying to talk to him. His name is Mr. A.J. Perry. He's from Cleveland, Ohio, and he's a Tangsa Do guy. A.J., are you there?
I'm here. How are you, sir?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, one note.
Well, listen, I've got a great show tonight. I've got...
Is that,
go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He was talking about a positive attitude. Martial artists are supposed to be leaders, and nobody wants to follow a negative leader. You know, they're supposed to have positive attitude and lead from the front. And so I truly agree with him.
Well, that's why you're a co-host for Parts Unknown and our show that we've done for 6 years. And before I introduce my very, very special guest tonight, I've got another special guest, and he's introduced a new concept which the Sport Karate Museum is part of, and it's going to be introducing some of the great legends of our time, people like Mike Stone and Alan Steen and golly bum, Rick Wigginton, Mr. Jim Harrison, rest in peace, and, you know, he's really a cool guy. And besides that, he's a doctor. So he's one of the good guys. Dr. Lee, are you there?
Oh, thank you for the introduction. Thank you so much. How are you today?
No, thank you for your vision. So give my listeners a short version of what we're doing with this hologram and the potential of it. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, yes. Our excitement continues to build as we continue to introduce SetVR as a platform to practice your skills when and where you want, using a hologram, a computer-generated person that will randomly attack you when you least expect it. Not only will it help you maintain and improve your skills as you practice, it will also help you to develop and improve your reflex response to a random, unprovoked, unpredictable attack. We have also been planning for a future platform for a history portal for the Karate Museum that Professor Gary Lee has been speaking to you about every week. SetVR is a program. It's portable. It utilizes the Oculus Quest or Oculus Rift, whereby you'll be able to practice whenever and wherever you want. Please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. So we're excited program coming up. Yes.
Yeah, we're excited, too, in the different phases that we're going through. Right now you're in phase one, correct, or phase three?
Yes.
Or it goes backwards. Which one?
Yep, we're going to phase one, and we just had an onboarding done today, and it's going to give you more in regards to updating what we're doing. So please go on our website, and I'll tell you all about it.
And let me take the mindset of what we're talking about. Imagine a village. This is like an Okinawa village where the samurai first invaded Okinawa, but there's a storefront where you can actually go into different parts of the village. And each time you go into those parts, you pick up clues on American sport karate or martial arts in general. Who was the founder of judo? Hey, man, who brought Taekwondo to America? All the questions. And then eventually you go out into the woods, into the forest and the mountains, and you have to face a hologram. And if you don't kick its butt, well, you're in trouble. Eventually you do win. You beat the hologram, or the hologram helps you, teaches you, and Mako, our wisdom warrior, appears. And he says, look, okay, guy, do you have enough clues, Dr. Lee? And Dr. Lee will go, yes. And Mako will go, I'm sorry, Dr. Lee, you have to go back. So now the person has to go back and get educated more. And now the hologram is a samurai. Ooh. And you have to defeat the samurai maybe with kabuto weaponry, the side, the tampa, the nunchucks, the bow. Who knows? And you do defeat him, or he helps you become better. And now Mako appears. And he says, okay, Dr. Lee, do you have enough education to enter? And this time Dr. Lee goes, yes. And Mako checks, and he does. So he takes you to a gate, and the portals appear. And that'll be Alan Steen, Mike Stone, Rick Wigginton. I mean, come on. And also maybe my special guest tonight, Dr. Lee. I don't know if you've ever met him or not, but he's a super cool guy. He helped introduce, well, he's a pioneer, not only in New York State, but the country. And I hope to really spread the word about this guy because he's an amazing person, not only in karate, an original karate do, but also he's a marketologist. He literally is one of the smartest guys I've ever met. Dr. Lee, I want you to meet a man named Dr. Hanchi, Andrew Lennox. Andrew, are you there?
Yes.
I'm with you. Yes, thank you.
Okay, this is Dr. Lee. He's got an incredible idea, and as we go further into our discussions, I want you to meet him and talk to him, and you guys get to know each other. It'd be kind of cool.
My pleasure.
Well, Dr. Lee,
thank you so much. Yes.
And you're on every week. Every week we do an update and we talk more about what's happening. So you'll be on next Tuesday and we'll be talking more about it and taking each step as you get more and more into the idea, right?
Yes, sir. We're planning to do that.
Well, promise me, because you're on the front line, that you're safe and that you're taking care of all the people that, have been put in front of you. God bless you for your work. Thank you, Dr.
Thank you,
Lee.
Sir. Thank you so much.
Well, I'll talk to you real soon, sir.
Thank you, Dr.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, this is why I like it. It's just me and AJ and Hanchi Lennox, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Now, AJ, remember, throw in there because Hanchi Lennox, get ready. He's a character. Well, I tell you what, instead of just talking about him and bragging about him, I want him to tell me, my listeners, how he got started, who influenced him, and what you need to make black belt.
Now, you're having an echo, I think.
Yes, I am, because I'm
I'm so cool. It's my
fault. I get
fault.
That.
I'm going to blame it on Hockey Boeing.
Your shadow is speaking with you.
Hey, by the way, before you start, I want my listeners to know that I've not only known Hockey Lincoln's reputation for probably going on almost 50 years, he's been a big part of my life, the museum, for almost 20 years. So if we sound a little gruff sometimes, it's only because I really, really, really deeply respect him, AJ. You understand?
Oh, I understand. It's
cool. Okay, tell me where you started, who you started with, and what year did you make black belt?
The first question was, how did I start? In other words, where did I grow up and things along those lines, right?
Right. How did you get started? First class.
Well,
how old were you? Okay. And what was your original motivation, how you got started?
Give you my background. For example, my father, Eddie Lennox, he manufactured hats and gloves and basically successfully sold them to the armed forces during World War II. Now, I grew up in the Bronx, New York. You can tell from my funny accent. And it was in the late
50s. It is funny, you know. It really is. It is funny.
It's as good as it gets.
Hey, before you go on, I want you to, we got a few minutes. I got to throw a big shout out to Tom Spellman. He's probably listening right now. And he's the original, he's really a cool guy. He's also the official consultant now for the museum and for the history and stuff. And he really respects you, Hunter Lennox. I just wanted to say
Okay. Thank you much. I appreciate
that. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Actually, I didn't interrupt. Go ahead.
So most people don't know what it was like in the Bronx, living in the Bronx back in the 50s. It's basically that in order to cross the street, you would have to know somebody in the neighborhood. And you had to carry an illegal blade of choice or a baseball bat, perhaps a tire. Of course, you want brass knuckles. And if you knew boxing, and of course, we always kid around and say, you have to learn garbage can rule. And you know what that means, right? You'd
right.
pick up garbage and defend yourself against these groups of gangsters or wannabe gangsters. So it was pretty tough. Every single corner, you had another group, whether it's the Italians, basically any type of different variety, Polish, Italians, Jewish people, they all came from the different parts of New York, but each one had their own gang. So you really had to know somebody, otherwise you were definitely going to get into a fight. So
Listen to me. What was it like to judge maybe like Chuck Norris and anyone know what he was going to turn out to be?
Well, with Chuck Norris, it's interesting because when he came east, it was a notorious fight, a landmark fight. He actually fought Luis Delgado, who was from the Crew clan. And, of course, Peter Urban, we'll get to him later. And he actually, again, Chuck is great in terms of form, in terms of grace, power, poise, everything, time.
But did anybody else know in the group that judged him? They didn't figure out he turned out to be who he turned out to be. And, I mean, come on. Just an icon.
We knew.
We
instinctively know as judges, you can see somebody and within 5 minutes you know exactly what you're going to see, basically, with some surprises. But they fought, and of course, I think Delgado had won that fight, just happened to beat him that day. But still, you saw the making of a true icon and champion because, again, like Joe Louis, you know, smooth, his timing was impeccable, and his personality was flawless, a real gentleman in and outside the ring, much like Thomas La Puppet, which we'll get to also later, from the famous Tang Dojo.
Well, I want to ask you some technical questions. First of all, you know, Westerners, or I call them mainlanders, you know, Americans, if you want to be blunt about it, you know, they interpret karate or karate or shirte or whatever. They think they know it. And my question is, this is called Parts Unknown. I'm going to ask you a hard question that only I know you can answer. Do the mainlanders and the Americans and the Westerners, do they really do Bunkai correctly, sir? You know, Bunkai is so special, but people think Bunkai is part of the sushi menu. Come on. I mean, that's what people think. Isn't that right, AJ?
Right.
Thanks to those guys.
Exactly,
you know what Bunkai
right.
is?
Some martial arts instructors don't even know what it means.
Well, okay, so you know what it means then, even though you're a Korean guy. That's cool. Well, Andrew, answer my question. Do the mainlanders or Westerners do Bunkai correctly?
Early days in the 60s and 70s, no. Because they were taught kata, but they were not taught the Bunkai. They were not taught the inner meaning or the hidden techniques within the forms, because many times a block was not really a block. It was a strike. Many times you didn't learn about the takedowns until much later, and of various different choke holds and wrist grabs and crossbars and so on and so forth. So it did take a good 20 years, I think, before authentic Bunkai came about, and then only a very few knew, because if it wasn't from an authentic Asian forefather, okay, which we do owe a great deal to, then it was made up. And then, of course, imagine.
Andrew, Hachi, listen, remember something you taught me 20 years ago, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. So you got an injury. Remember that you got people who are listening who don't even know what Bunkai is. So please, please, Hachi, explain to what Bunkai is and what exactly is it to someone who does or say they do karate. Please, I'm
just
sorry to interrupt you, but I want you to be a teacher for me tonight. Thank you.
There's different levels of Bunkai, but in essence, it is the hidden movements within the form that is basically taught, because you're learning self-defense. And when you're doing the kata, then if you're not doing the Bunkai, you're just making dance movements and basically making air currents. So you're taught each movement has a block, it could be a strike. You're learning body shifting. You're learning the intrinsic movements of the form and what they mean in terms of, let's say, street self-defense, or exactly what it is you're doing when you're performing the kata. Okay? That's the simple part of the Bunkai, without getting into anything advanced.
Well, thank you, because, you know, a lot of people don't even know what it means or what it is. And it's mainly used by Japanese people and Okinawa people, but AJ, do the Koreans do Bunkai?
Some of them do. You know, some of the forms of Taekwondo actually came from Shotokan, like the Songmukwan. And, you know, I was taught the hitting, killing movements of each technique, and that's the reason Geechee and Funakoshi didn't want children to know it.
Now, when you mentioned Funakoshi, I got to ask Hachi Lineage, because he's got distinctive lineage in Japanese Okinawa karate, though. His original style was Shoryu. Is that correct, Hachi Lineage?
Matsubayashi.
Well, let's go share with some of your knowledge that you have within the Japanese community back in the 60s and 50s, or back in the Stone Age, as we'll say. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, back in the day, you know, you first started out. Actually, I thought what I wanted to discuss was basically, you know, how I first heard about the martial arts, how I got started. Is that a good question?
Well, it was the first question, but you got to keep up with me, Hachi. Okay, remember?
I'm interested in that question.
Okay, well, this was what I consider a turning point.
I got a question here. It says, ask Hachi when it doesn't know how to tap dance. Okay, so I've got some good questions for you, buddy.
Okay, that's good. Well, for example, there was a place, 1958, it was called Judo Twins in Queens, New York. And it had an ad for their school in a newspaper. And basically, later, Jerome Mackey, who was a judo champion and also a concert pianist, I also went to Imperial Dojo in New York City and Long Island. And, of course, the judo was run by brothers, which was, I think, Bernie and Bob Lefkocker, and also a gentleman by the name of Antonio Pereira was also there at that time, and that's a pioneer in jiu-jitsu. But getting back to the story, it was 1958, and I was 12. I was living in West Hempstead, and I read an ad that said something like the mystical oriental martial art. And at that time, I was a police boys club boxing champ, and finding out about this 100-pound, 5-foot-2 Asian challenging the American public to matches against them, and what's this new form, this art called karate. So it was like mysterious. So I went to this Long Island school.
That wasn't Masayama back in the day, was it?
No, this is no. I'll tell you about Masayama in a bit. But this was an Imperial Dojo, which was run by Jerome Mackey. He had a dojo in New York and also on Long Island. And I went in with four wise guys because, again, we're from the Bronx. You know, you don't mess around with Bronx guys. and we went in, four wise guys. But I said, you know what? We better have a fifth guy at the door as our lookout, because we were going to beat up this teacher and run like hell. So we went downstairs, and the sensei on the mat asked for volunteers. So he challenged all four of us at once, which was pretty cool. So we circled him, and in broken English, he said, "Anytime you're ready." And, you know, we had a plan. I didn't go in there with, you know, five wise guys, you know, from the Bronx. So we had a plan to take out every part of his body, from his throat to his groin. I remember giving the command to attack first. So I was the first guy thrown in the air. And as I hit the mat, I was dazed. I got up thinking, we better get out of here before they call the cops. I looked around, and I saw all my buddies sprawled out on the mat. Nobody was moving. And Sensei was the center saying, "Want to try again?" and basically that was the turning point. I had to learn this awesome knowledge. Okay? Now,
what year was that?
That was 19, let's see, 58, judo, jiu-jitsu, karate. Let's say about 62.
Okay.
First we studied, they didn't have karate back then. 1958, you learned judo, jiu-jitsu, and then self-defense, and karate came later. And then we were very fortunate because a lot of the Okinawan teachers and Japanese teachers came to New York, so whoever was there, we were privileged to learn from them. So you learned Aikido, you learned samurai sword, you learned, you know, different weapons, you learned whatever it was, and anybody coming through was happy to teach you at the time. So to me, that was, you know, fantastic. But then to get back to what you were saying in terms of the 60s, I think official karate, when we started by Al Weiss in 1968.
Hello.
Yes, hello?
Yeah. Who's this?
Oh, wow, who's...
Is this David Grego?
No.
Okay, who is this?
I'm not sure who I'm talking to.
Oh, this is Professor Gary Lee and Andrew Larry and Hachi Jesse Bowen and AJ Perry. Who is this?
The Phantom. I think they hung up.
Well, he interrupted us.
That was
okay.
Funny.
That's funny.
I was supposed to have Debbie Grego on tonight, but I don't think he called in. But go ahead, Auntie. You were talking.
Yeah. I think through a perspective that people, I'm trying to cover some things that most people don't know about. So, you know, highlights and milestones. And I don't think that people realize that when Al Weiss, who was the publisher of Official Karate Magazine in 1968, he put out the first all karate magazine with no other styles or anything in there. And he had a lot of problems getting the martial arts community behind him to actually support him. So, you know, basically when it started, I mean, Mary Townsley, for those people who don't know, she was a great photographer and she covered a lot of events. Also, another person who passed away was a photographer, Joe. I'm trying to remember his last name. It comes to me in a moment. Yeah.
Well, you had AJ and Hunter Link. You had Southern exposure.
Yeah.
You had the Texas people. You had California people. You had the Midwest
right.
scene. You had
right. but here,
I mean, Chris McLaughlin and Harvey Hastings ran the Southern exposure. Midwest scene was a group of people like with Jim Harrison's group and stuff and Kent Knudsen and those guys. And then California, they were a whole different world like they are. But let me ask you a question, Auntie Lennox. Okay,
let me just, if I could just finish mentioning and then you can ask the question. I wanted to give a shout out to the people that actually were the first pioneers to help Al Weiss. And in the order that they came, from my recollection, you had the wonderful guys like Don Bohan, who's Ishinru. You had Ed McGrath. These people studied from the famous Don Nagel, which we'll get into a little later. Lou Lazat, again, these are Ishinru guys that lended their expertise. And, of course, Gary Alexander.
Did you ever meet Harold Long? Did you know Harold?
Oh, I knew Harold Long very well. I also did the marketing of his book, the Ishinru Karate book.
Did you know, you remember he's the one that spent hours with me in a radio studio that created the Astral World shows. He thought I was crazy. I had him one time, he threw a ruler at me one night in the radio station because, you know, he was a hardcore Marine, right? And
absolutely.
I was trying to say, look, you had to have creativity. Because we're performing in front of thousands of people at Astroworld, and he didn't want to change certain things. And we had, but I learned a lot from Harold Long. I learned a lot.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. And again, these are three mega people that came in from Steve Armstrong, Harold Long, Don Eagle, you know, the original pioneers from Ishinru Karate,
right.
and from
Gary Alexander.
Yeah. So anyway, the other people, I came on board next after Gary Alexander, myself, and then George Cofield also.
Well, I
want
to say that question for you. I want to ask you a question. If I mentioned Fred Hamilton, George Cofield, Thomas the Puppet, Errol Bennett, what comes into your mind?
Tong Dojo.
Tong Dojo. Good.
Tong Dojo. So, and also, you got to add Alex Sternberg with Thomas LaPuppet, of course.
He's not a brother, though, okay?
No,
the
what's
guys,
true,
we
though.
Just mentioned Fred Hamilton and Mr. Cofield and Errol Bennett.
True.
You know, they're all brothers. Mr. Steinberg plus one Steinberg, you know,
he was a white brother.
He was a badass kata guy. He judged me in 1993 in Dallas at the USAF Nationals.
He was very, very close with the brothers. So he was an honorary brother from a different mother.
Hey, the other question I want
to
ask you, I got Ronald Duncan's black belt and his Hanchi black belt and his certificate. And I got it from Rick Wigginton and Murderers Row. Do you remember those guys, Hunty Lennox?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, when we were talking about the other people, do you remember JT Will? Joe Griffith was the photographer. Would come by. Joe was fantastic. He traveled around the globe taking pictures of all the tournaments. Jim Karras was Gary Alexander's top student at the time. Hey, we had Pete Serengano. We had Frank Ruiz. We had George Mishu. You had Gary Cassell.
Yeah, I got a question to ask you, archaeologist. Are you getting paid to mention all these guys' names? Are they giving you a dollar for every time you say their names?
No, actually, I don't remember. No.
Hey, Gary.
Of course not. I'm just getting some of the historical people.
Yeah,
I'm really
interested in hearing the rest of his history. It's really interesting.
Okay.
Auntie Lennox. So, AJ wants to hear the rest of Auntie Lennox history. Go ahead.
Okay. Just mentioning from that point of view, you had from the Matsubayashi, from Nagamine, Soshin Nagamine, you had Ansei Ushiro, who was one of his top students that came over in the early 60s. And then you had people like James Wax, who was out of Ohio, who was also a Sean Rue stylist. And from Ansei, you had all the various different Okinawan systems. And, of course, from Nagamine, you have all the different Sean Rue people that came into New York as well. So it's pretty awesome when you think in terms of, thanking these people because they've received more rank in more than one system. And, of course, I was very fortunate enough also to study Isshin Rue Karate. Gary Alexander was one of my instructors, Robert Murphy. And as a matter of fact, Ralph Jericho and I used to go to Robert Murphy's dojo in New Jersey, and we were training in, several styles and cross learning, which was great. And of course,
why do you say karate instead of karate?
Karate. That's the way I was always.
Why do you say it like karate? Karate instead of karate. Why do you say it that way? What's the difference?
It's just a matter of how you were taught. I never say I take karate. It's just to me it's karate. It's empty hand. So the te, empty hand. It's karate. It's just my preference. That's all.
Okay. Well, listen.
All right.
I gotta ask you some questions. I got to ask you some different questions. Listen to me. Okay, some of the questions I got from some of these people that sent in emails. What do you think about all these black belt hall of fames and all these 10th degree black belts that are appearing around America? I know that you do a professional black belt hall of fame, but you're one of the oldest ones, one of the original ones, and you are also a legitimate Tanchi. So I really would like your opinion. What do you think of what's going on in America with all these 10th degree black belts, 13th degree black belts, all these black belt hall of fames?
Yeah. Well, let's say following, okay? To me, we don't charge a fee for induction to any prestigious hall of fame. I started the Karate Masters Hall of Fame in 1972. I believe that was the oldest paying Hall of Fame, and what made us unique is that we rigorously investigate the background of all and make sure that our selected inductees are major contributors to the martial arts. So, of course, you know the names like Peter Irvin, Gary Alexander, June Rhee, Alan Steen, but we also deserve to honor those unsung heroes of the early days of sport karate and all the arts in America. But, the whole concept is that you're getting a beautiful certificate that's absolutely free, pay for it. So to me, there's so many current Hall of Fames that induct hundreds of individuals every year, sometimes for nothing more than winning a backyard tournament. So for us, say to yourself, the testimonies of the Karate Masters Hall of Fame inductees are witness basically what the first generation pioneers think of the traditional organization. So with us, our mission is to unify the international and national martial arts community in an atmosphere of friendship, mutual respect, and cooperation. So what we're trying to do is preserve the traditional martial arts and rank, and of course, these other Hall of Fames just give out rank and recognition to anybody who will pay. So it's a farce, and it's sad, because...
Well, tell me what you really feel. I'm just kidding.
No, you know what I'm saying.
Now, you've earned rank, and rank is such a touchy subject with a lot of people in different styles. And, you know, you're a legitimate Hanshi, which means that you have knowledge, you have the lineage, you have the backing, you have the experience, and you have the tenureship to be able to pass on the knowledge that you picked up from your instructors. How do you feel about all these people for claiming to be 37 years old and a 10th degree black belt and creator of their own style called Chinese Shotokan or something? I mean, what do you think about that? Is that crazy?
Chinese Shotokan would be a blessing. When I hear Gichi Gu and the Nine Dragons, that's when my hair stand on.
AJ, aren't you a black belt in that style?
Pardon me?
I'm kidding. I made it funny. I'm sorry, thanks to the old guy. I pick on him. Hanshi Lennox. I pick on AJ because he's a Korean stylist.
We love everything. Listen, unless you're studying the five fingers of death, you know, and get to win the nine dragon, you're nobody. Everybody knows that. And if you don't an 11th to 15th dan, it means you didn't really study well. You weren't really good. So, you know, us humble 10th dons, you know, what do we know? Because you got 15th and 25th dons out there. God knows they are the grand wizard of the universe. We bow down to them. And no, it's a total farce. It is really an insult to those people that spent, like myself, over 60 years, 62 years in the martial arts. 4 hours a day, judo, karate, back-to-back, whatever, cleaning latrines, painting dojo, doing whatever I could to learn from the head sensei, because I couldn't afford to pay private lessons. But I did what I could, and I would do it again in a million years, because that builds character. And that's something that's priceless when you think about it. So how do you weed these fraudsters out? That's really what it is. You really have to have some sort of government watchdog that prevents these people.
That'll never happen.
He wants to unite. That's the problem.
Well, right. I agree with that.
I agree completely.
I don't think that ever happened, Hanshi Lennox, because there's too much disagreements and misjudgments and not enough knowledge either. You know, that's one thing that I appreciate you and Tom Spellman and Keith Yates, what you guys are going to do with the Fort Crowder Museum website, you know, the archives, is create a House of China, House of Japan, House of Okinawa, House of America that I built up. And it'll be a go-to site for people to understand that the knowledge and the wisdom, and I want to say that very, very deeply, AJ, the wisdom that people like Hanshi Lennox have, it'll be passed on, and people will rely on it being a go-to site where they can actually learn about something. Now, Hanshi Lennox, I got to ask you another question. Now, we're going to talk about karate maybe in a minute, but I got to ask you, you're also a entrepreneur in gourmet testing. Is I'm saying that right? You're a critic, correct?
A restaurant critic and travel features editor and owner of Practical Gourmet Magazine, which reaches 900.
How did you get involved with that?
Very interesting. Always loved food and wine. Had a father that liked to go out to dinner a lot. Had a great mom who also would cook fantastic food. So I had the palate. I had the desire. And it was difficult because also growing up, let's say from maybe 15 years old, I was diagnosed with a disease that they didn't know what it was. And they had no clue. And finally, said, ah, this is known as Crohn's disease. And that's, if anybody understands what that is, that's an inflammatory bowel disease, which can cause lots of pain and stress and so on and so forth. So the fact that I had being lactose intolerant, among other things, I had to watch my diet to a degree, but it didn't stop me from traveling the world and raiding restaurants and the finest hotels, as well as freestanding restaurants since 1982. And it's just been a passion of mine. And, of course, another one is photography. And wherever we go, we would take pictures of food, of the country, the sites, the culture, people, all things interesting. So I have about 50,000 photos of A to Z from all my travels to about 155 countries.
Well, you know what? I remember when I left Hawaii, my sensei said, you're going to meet men, they're going to call themselves entrepreneurs. And I went, what in the hell is an entrepreneur? And through the years, I realized that Auntie Andrew Linick, A.J. Perry, is an entrepreneur. He's an amazing person. Now, I'm saving the last part for last, but we got to talk about one of the great promoters.
One of the great promoters.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Thailand just to eat.
Yeah. Oh, that's a gorgeous country, too, of course. And just feast.
Listen,
wonderful.
I got to talk about one of the great promoters that we both ran into. And you,
yeah.
I'll tell you my story, and you tell me your story. And we're talking about the guy that put on the Oriental World Self-Defense throughout the 70s, named Aaron Banks, an amazing producer and promoter who changed the lives of many people. Now, you actually performed at that event, correct?
Correct. I was one of several masters to perform at that event. It was very exciting because you realize that Aaron Banks actually studied with John Slocum in the art of Shotokan. So he did have a legitimate black belt, although he's really was known for his promotion and best at it.
Well,
and,
when he was on the Mike Douglas show, I thought he said he was Goju. But he was Shotokan?
No. He first studied karate in 1960 under John Slocum, but after he got his black belt, he earned it from Peter Urban and from Raymond Duran in 1964, I believe. So remember that. He was a great promoter, and he promoted the first team contest, the East versus West Coast Championships in 1967. Do you remember that? And he also did the World Karate Championships, which crowned Joe Louis, Chuck Norris, Mike Stone, and I think Skipper Mullins world champions. And the controversy, it radically heated up with America versus the Oriental Team Championships. So now his crowning achievement was the Oriental World of Self-Defense, because it was first presented in 1967, and it was the town hall in New York. Then it moved to the Felt Forum, which was Madison Square Garden, in about 1973, and I think in 1974, which I also was on the ABC Wild World Sports. He aired that about times. Then he moved to Madison Square Garden, where at that time, remember, that was in the 70s, he had over 19,000 spectators, and he broke a martial arts event, a live gate. He made over $100,000. Now, this is, fantastic, because you're talking about 1974. The show way, he took it to England. He went to South America. We went also all around the world with that particular show. That good. Okay? So, you have to remember that he was one at the best. I would say he was at that time the best martial arts promoter and had the biggest in history of the martial parts back in the day?
Well, let me tell you my run-in with him. It was 1993, and I was doing the Kids Expo, and I did a autograph session with Nolan Ryan and Akeem Olajuwon, and it was a Sports Illustrated autograph session, right? And I guess he had heard about it. He called me up, and he wanted to know who this hot shot promoter was, doing Astroworld, Six Flags, and doing all this stuff. And I said, I'm not nobody, sir. I'm just, you know, I just put together shows. And he talked to me for almost an hour and a half. And then at the end of the conversation, he says, you know what? I like you, Gary Lee. I'm only going to charge you $500. I said, $500? What for? He said, well, I normally charge $1,000 to spend an hour on the phone with someone like I spent with you, sharing all my secrets. But with you, and I like you, I'm only going to send you an invoice for $500. And that's how I met Aaron Banks, through a phone call. And then I got to honor him at Michael D. Pasquale's event. And he was a character, Hanchi. He was a, you know, he was worse than you.
He was a character. And if you think of him as the Bonham and Bailey of the martial arts, would be a good, you know, I think that would title for him, because he really
read my mind.
You know, catching bullets in their teeth. I mean, he had some stuff that was really in the circus act type of thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Ronald Duncan caught arrows with the ninjutsu act. I remember that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about our friend Joe Hess knocking out Beth Bussey? Remember that?
Yes. And a matter of fact, that was Richard Chun's top student at the time, in case people
Beth Bussey
don't know.
Was?
Yeah. And what's interesting about that, too, is that, you know, the fight is such where, you know, back in the day, you had the front kick fake into a roundhouse kick. Everybody remember that?
Right.
You know, so 1-2 up. Yeah. And Hayes had that down perfectly, too. And he nailed quite a few people. And that's, you know, look, we were from the blood and guts era, because if you didn't knock the person down to get the point, you didn't get the point. There was no gloves. There was no foot gear. There was no padding. And we loved that because, you know, you just did your thing. And I loved to fight. And I loved all the, you know, people coming at you from different, you know, styles. You learned. It was a camaraderie. You picked up different techniques. You traded techniques. So, I mean, it was more than just a tournament and a title. You really was able to noters, and you had respect for each other. It is just totally different than today, of course. Now, I did want to mention with everybody that's listening, did they have a favorite seminar or workshop or martial arts tour to a favorite country? Did they have a favorite country that they went to perform? Because I had two that people may not know of, although I've done, you know, maybe 23, 24 countries. But I wanted to bring up one or two, which I thought may be of interest, if that's of interest of everybody.
Go ahead.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, and I was just looking at the plaque, and I said, this is an amazing story, because you had, this was in Caracas, Venezuela, in October 1975. It was the El Palied. And I believe we had about 50,000 screaming fans. And this was set up by Ed Kaloudis, who was Koekan Karate, Japanese style, from Onishi.
I remember Ed. Yeah, remember him.
Yep. And this was one of my most memorable tours, because his student, which was Marcella Blanchard, he was the head of the military, so he was able to bring all of us in, and I'll tell you who was on the list, because they invited us. They handpicked us, which was very humbling, because they evidently knew who they wanted to perform. And I'll remind me to mention there was two standing ovations, too, at the end of it. So, again, with all our weapons, we didn't have to go through customs. It was like a huge, you know, welcome. We did TV. We did radio. We toured the country. And then time to perform at the El Paliedro. It was phenomenal show. And then you had Aaron Banks that was on the tour, Thomas, Eddie Kaloudis, of course, Gary Alexander, the guy that nobody knows too much about. He was an Aikido specialist by name of Richard Bowie, okay, from Sensei. Teruyuka Higa, Okinawan Kempo stylist. Kiki M, New York.
Jordan G. Kempo, Rodney.
Yes.
Jordan G. Kempo, yeah.
You had, Okinawan Kempo, though. Okinawan Kempo.
Right.
From Odo Sensei. So
right.
You had Teddy Wong, Alex Sternberg came also. Jim Kelly was also, you know, the top billing at the time as well, because they wanted to have a movie star. So we had Jim Kelly. So it was a great time. And I was fortunate. I was doing a demo with one of my 16-year-old brown belts and doing disarming weapons blindfold, and also doing the nunchaku, smashing the apple, and doing other things that got a standing ovation. And boy, those people know how to party, and it was loud. It was cheers. It was phenomenal. They opened up restaurants for us at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, it was one of the most memorable trips that I had the pleasure of being with, and very humble to be with these other senseis
the
country.
I got to say something. You remind me of someone that I used to hang out with, and I don't know if you ever met him or not, but you remind me of a lot of him. You're a Manny Margulis. Manny, did you know Manny?
Yes, I did.
Did you know Manny? You remind me of him a lot. Did I ever tell you that? Manny,
no.
Manny had a personality that you had. When he came to Houston, and we left the tournament at 12 o'clock at night, he went to the Italian restaurant, and he opened it back up, and we stayed there until 4:30 in the morning. Manny took care of the whole bill, okay? I mean, he was a class New York class act type, Manny Gross. He was a tough karate dude, too, but I told everybody I'd save the best for last, because you're also an expert at taking someone who wants to desire to become really profitable or successful and helping them market things. Now, I say the best for last because I know that you really know what you're talking about, but you got so much to share with. But I just want people who are listening, if they do want to get in contact with you, if they want to help themselves with what's going on, like with America, like their schools and stuff, because there's going to be a lot of karate schools go under. I mean, could you give us some information how to get in contact with you? But first of all, share with people who are going through what they're going through right now through this pandemic, how they can survive with their schools. Just give us a little tidbit of marketing expertise, okay? Because that's what you are. You are a marketologist, and you really know what you're talking about.
Calling the marketing just as my registered trademark, but thank you. And in terms of building,
you can send me a check
school
next week. You know, I'll take a check next week. That's cool. Okay.
Okay. Do you want
okay,
a rubber
I'm
one?
Yeah, I'm kidding. Go ahead. I didn't interrupt. AJ, I'm still
that's
waiting.
Okay.
On.
That's okay.
He drives a $100,000 car, and I got a good check from him.
There you go. In terms of opening up, when it comes back to the schools, I was trying to tell people right now, if they can't do the distance, they should go to a local beach or a local park. Hopefully you need a permit and do some, you know, karate and martial arts outside in the fresh air, weather permitting, and also, you know, videotape the classes so that you can do Zoom, or you can do meetings, or you could do any type of thing, so that they can learn and record what they're learning. So this way they have it for free. And then to also have guest instructors that also are friends be able to perform and to do other things. And what I'm going to try to do, because a lot of people have asked me, is to come up with some videos for self-distancing and practicing that you can do on your own, but utilizing advanced technique. And in one particular thing, to teach the body shifting, the Thai sabaki, so that, again, if you're not there, you can't be hit. So imagine learning the proper body shifting techniques, which there are 10 different ways of body shifting. So a person throws a kick or a punch and you're not there, and you're moving to a 45-degree angle, simultaneously blocking and striking, those techniques can be done without a partner, and then you can use a partner when, you know, you can. But in terms of marketing, in terms of advertising, things like that, the best thing is to do press releases about the school, about what you're teaching, what makes you unique, what is your mission, your objectives, and lots of testimonials from students, from parents. And that should be blended inexpensively on the social media platform. And you want to, you know, basically do a questionnaire to your students, the ones that have been with you, and find out what they love about the school and what are the pain points, if there are any problems. So you'll learn a great deal about what it is they're doing, what their hopes are, what their fears are, and then, of course, giving them more than they expect. If you, the old story is, if you give them a fish, you feed them for a day. If you teach them how to fish, you feed them for life. It's the same thing with giving the knowledge. And then they appreciate.
Okay, here's the hard question. Hunter Lennox, here's the wisdom that I need from you, that I've had from you for 20 years. What's going to happen to American martial arts in the next 20 years? What's your prediction?
Prediction is that there will be 3D, like there's this fitness mirror, where you will actually have maybe hands, or you'll have something where you'll be able to spar with a particular partner, whether it's, you know, let's say through, what do we call that, where you put a thing in your head. What's that called again?
The hologram, like I was talking about earlier, hologram. The virtual reality.
Virtual, that's right. There's going to be a whole generation doing karate and martial arts as a reality. So besides being they'll be learning through virtual reality, and this mirror concept is very interesting and it's taking off. It's very trendy, so that you have your personal trainer, your personal coach that's teaching you while you're staring at the mirror. Okay? So I think it's going to explode to a point where people are going to realize that it's a way of life. You want happiness, you want to be a leader, you want to be successful in life, then you should be studying in authentic martial arts with people, hopefully, that have lineage.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, again, how would people get in touch with you if they wanted to learn more about marketing or mentorship or, you know, just listen to your wisdom?
They could go to 631-924-3888. That's 631-924-3888. And to reach me by email, you can either do Hanchi Linick, LINICK, at gmail.com. Or if you want the marketing side, you go to topmarketingadvisor@gmail.com. topmarketingadvisor@gmail.com. And happy to help anybody that needs help. And giving back is what it's all about. And that's what I'm doing for the past 60 years.
Well, I want to say something to you. I appreciate you so much. And, you know, you're one of the few legitimate 10th degree black belt haunties that I can have a decent conversation with. And I'm so excited that you and Professor Spellman and Keith Yates, Dr. Yates, and you, Dr. Linick, are putting together visions of the traditional, you know, heritage of how sport karate was developed in America, and it means so much to me. So I've got to wind the show down, but I want you to know, Hunchy Linick, that you know, you are very, very special, and you're one of the true treasures of American martial arts. And tonight,
thank you.
You shared with AJ Perry and the and the listeners that we have what the heritage is of American martial arts and the core of it. And, you know, people always talk about people like Carlos, I mean, Mr. Norris and Benny and everybody, and they're the true heroes too, but there's people like yourself that have really not only given to the martial arts in America, but created avenues for other people to become what they've become. So God bless you, Hansi Link, and thank you so much for tonight. It means so much to me. And
thank you.
I'll give you a call.
Great history, Hansi Link.
Thank you so much.
Any questions to ask before we go?
Great history.
Sorry?
Hey, you got any questions you'd like to ask Hansi Link before he goes?
Well, you know, it's funny, Hansi, you were talking about, you know, going to a park and training
yes.
to stay 8 feet away. You know, we've been doing that since the end of April. And, you know, I have a real nice school, and we go in there if it's raining. That's great advertising. It's to be out there with your name on
yep.
the back and people see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you see, and again, if anybody wants to call up and they want some free advice, I'm happy to help them with the schools. I had 13 schools on four continents before lots of people even knew what karate and judo were, and I did this part-time. So I've been, you know, having huge success with business, marketing, and advertising. So to be able to do this part-time, you know, and I tell everybody the secret to my success, it's mind over matter, and in my case, I have no mind. It doesn't matter. And then when they say, how come you're so smart, I point to my head and I say, it's all up here in my tuchus. So explain to them what that is, Professor Lee.
Well, let me tell you what. You know, one thing I want to say to everybody, you just went through a traumatic moment in your life yesterday, but you had an accident or something in your car, or someone hit you from behind.
Yes, I did yesterday at 1:30 while going to the doctor's to get my stuff. So, yeah, and I said, regardless, I got pain shots today. And I said, whether I'm loopy or I'm not loopy, the show must go on. So I hope I did okay. But
you were awesome. But you got to promise me you'll stay safe because you're right in the middle of New York City. You're from Long Island, right?
I'm out where the deer and the antelope still play. I got plenty of property and everything is cool out here.
Okay.
So that's not a problem. And I have German steel. Mercedes-Benz builds a great car. So that's what really saved me. Believe me. I'm so pleased. That's why I own them, because German steel holds up. And it was only maybe about $1,500 worth of damage. Fortin does.
Cool.
Other than
well, thank you so much for tonight. I've got to mention a couple people before I go, but I'll call you
great
later.
Interview.
Thank you for your time. AJ,
hey,
guess what?
Anytime
on July, sir?
Anytime you need input, you know I'm happy to be a guest. I just need to make the time. Just give me some notice, okay? My
well,
pleasure.
It means a lot, Hansi, that you're a very special person, and we'll have the show tonight on the podcast. And you can go to Google and type in AMAA Radio, and you can listen to it. But I'll call you in a few days. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, AJ, listen. July the 25th, there's going to be an online karate tournament put on by Mr. David Grego. Do you remember David Grego from Ohio?
I do.
And he's going to be putting on a tournament. It's a PKA recommended event. It's got five stars from the Sport Karate Museum as a five-star A-rated event, and Mr. Grego is going to be on the show next week, so we'll be able to talk to him.
I believe I saw that advertised in Asian World also. I believe I saw that advertised in Asian World also.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll probably give you his name, number, I'll give you his number. And you can give him a call and tell him that we pumped it a little bit tonight. I thought he was going to be on the air, but maybe he didn't get the call in. And the other thing I want to talk about is, do you know that, have you ever tried the Black Belt Fragrance, the sponsor that I use and I put out last year and gave everybody?
I saw that.
Well, I'm going to be doing it again this year, so make sure you pick up a bottle, or if anybody was interested in smelling good or having a distinct black belt smell about yourself, you can go to Black Belt Fragrance and or go to the museum website, which, by the way, is www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com. And in the next few months, Professor Tom Spellman, Keith Yates, Andrew Linick, and Jerry Smith are be putting together some really interesting articles for the museum. We've got a new article up by Paul Artonio about Sensei Odo, Sensei from Okinawa, and we're going to have the House of Korea, House of China, House of Japan, House of America. We're even going to have an American kickboxing go-to page, so we're going to have a fun time. It's going to be exciting times in the next few years for the museum, AJ. It means a lot that you're on for the ride, too, buddy.
Looking forward to it.
Well, listen to me. I'll see you in November in Greenville, South Carolina for the Sam Chapman Summit and Roast at the Hilton on Hayward Road. And you're one of my speakers with Danny Lane. And we'll be celebrating the Marine birthday, you know, November 6th and 7th in Greenville, South Carolina. So I'll be looking
forward to
seeing
you. That's
the
Marines are going
to
be there.
Yeah, we got Duke Tershall coming, Colonel Phil Torres, Colonel C. Vitale, Danny Lane, you,
John Legato.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Be a great event.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks everybody for letting us come to your home every Tuesday night for the past 6 years. And a big, big shout out to the AMAA and Hunty Jesse Bowen and his vision to be able to allow me, a little guy from Hawaii that lives in a hut, to be on the radio airwaves and to share with all you guys the history of sport karate in America. And as we always say every week, mahalo and aloha. Good night, AJ. I'll see you later, buddy.
Good night.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, sir.